garland. Anybody ever got red Kool-Aid on anything? It doesn't come off. I got red Kool-Aid on a white Formica countertop. That spot's still there. That's what red will do. Though your sins be like red Kool-Aid, though they be as red as scarlet, he said, I'll wash them white as snow. I'll bring that color back out again. I'll bring the real you out again. I'll take away what sin did to you and bring you back the way I want you to be. I'll restore you. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. He said, I'll give you beauty for your ashes. God could take an old burned out, junky, druggy, and make a beautiful thing, make him a preacher of the gospel when he used to sell drugs. That's what God can do in a man's life. Let's go to the Lord in Genesis chapter 3:15, very familiar passage of scripture. We'll look at it a little bit different than perhaps we have in our studies in the past. Genesis 3:15, I will put it there. I'm going to place enmity, which is strife, between thee, speaking to the serpent, and the woman. It was the devil, if you will, Satan, the serpent, and Eve. I'm going to put strife between you and between thy seed and her seed. The offsprings of each of you will fight, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. You're going to hurt. If you ever had, I'd rather have a heel ache than a headache. It's going to bruise the heel, but I'm going to bruise the head. I'm going to get to the source of the problem. And unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. I want you to notice, I'm going to multiply thy sorrow. And he's also going to multiply thy conception. Generally, women have more or can have more than one child. I'm going to multiply it, where you don't just have, can not just have one offspring, you could have many. But I'm going to bring it in sorrow. And in sorrow shalt thou bring forth what you've conceived, the children. Not one, not the child, the children. And thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now let's look at the, this is the prophetic words. Let's look at the fulfillment of it. Matthew chapter 1:20. But while he thought, speaking of Joseph, on these things concerning his wife-to-be, Mary, the Virgin Mary, he found her and she was with child, and he was confused, and he thought to put her away privately because he thought that she had cheated on him. But while he thought on these things of how to put her away, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. That seed, that union of seed that is in her is not of man, it is of God. And she shall bring forth a son. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people. One man going to save his people from their sins. Oh, in great sorrow shall Mary bring forth this son that she has conceived. I want to talk for a little while, and I'll try to be timely. The desire to bring forth. The desire to bring forth. God bless us today as we endeavor to study your word. Open up our minds and our hearts that we may receive the engrafted word of God, which is able to save the soul. Be with us today. We pronounce blessings upon us today in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. In the days of creation, the first thing that God began to do when you read the book of Genesis is to separate things out. He began to divide things. That's the first thing he began to do. For the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. They were separated, right? There was a heaven and there was an earth. And heaven had form. Heaven had life. Heaven had light. Heaven had life. But the earth was without form, and it was void, and darkness was upon the face. So there was an order to heaven, but there was disorder on earth. You know why there was disorder on earth? Because the one that broke order in heaven was cast down to earth. Mm-hmm. And the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the waters, for the earth, the whole earth was enveloped with water. And God said, it moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. Before he separated the waters, he said, let there be light. And there was light. Why? And so God quickly separated. As soon as he said light, darkness went. Darkness went. And he was divided. He was in the process of division. He divided light from darkness so that when light shows up, darkness flees. I don't care how dark it is in here. If I light a candle, darkness has got to go. And God said, let there be a separation between light and darkness, and let there be a firmament or a space in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. God's in this dividing thing. And he said, let there be a space, because I'm going to put man between the waters. He's going to live between the waters. So let there be this space. We call it the firmament. God called it the firmament. And let there be water above and let there be water beneath. And so God gathered together the waters of the heaven, if you will, the clouds and the moisture and the atmosphere above. And he gathered all the waters together on the ground or on the earth. And when he gathered the waters of the earth, then dry land appeared. See, he's separating land from water. So that when the waters gathered together, he called that the seas. And when the land gathered together, he called that earth. Hallelujah. In the process of dividing things out, I want this and I want this. But if this covers this, then that can't exist. So God was trying to divide things out. And once everything was divided out and separated out, then the earth and the seas began to bring forth what was in them. It wasn't, brother, until they divided it out that now there was light and there was darkness and there was day and there was night and there was the sea and there was the dry land. And now each thing could now bring forth what it once could not bring forth. It was there, but it could not bring it forth. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, 1 and 11 of Genesis. Let the earth bring forth. It was already in the earth. It was already germinated. It was already conceived. And once he took the water off of it, all of a sudden that dry land or the land began to yield what was already in it. Let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed and fruit trees yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. See, the seed was already there. And it was so. And every tree would bring forth the same kind that it was. And God said, let the waters bring forth. Hey, oh, you see, oh, I'm so excited. You get the waters. The waters abated. And then the land began to bring forth. And once the waters abated, then the waters could bring forth. But if he left it like it was, neither one of them was bringing forth. And so the waters begin to bring forth abundantly now that we've got this separation going on. And abundantly the moving creature that hath life and the fowl that may fly above the earth and in the open firmament between the heaven. They fly between the waters. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful, multiply, and fill. God blessed them, be fruitful, multiply and fill. Fill the waters in the seas and let the fowl multiply in the earth. And God made the beast of the earth, verse 25, after his kind. And the cattle after their kind. And everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And so a lizard makes another lizard. And an alligator don't make a lizard. They may look a little alike, but they don't make lizards. Everything was made after its own kind. That was God's genuine desire. Man has messed that up. But that was God's genuine desire, that everything would bring forth exactly what it was. And God saw that it was good. It was working. And God created man. Now here we go into the creation of man. He created man in whose image? In his own image. So he wants him to be just like him. After his own kind, in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. just like he did the birds and the squirrels and the fish. He blessed them too. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish. Everything else that's multiplying, you're going to have dominion over it. Dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. He said in Noah's day, I'll put the dread of every animal in there, and when they see you, they'll run. I'm telling you, there's nothing frightens wildlife like a man. A cow can walk around them ducks and they don't fly. You let a man walk out there and they're going to fly before you get there. Always out of range. The process of bringing forth only occurred after the process of separation. Are you hearing me this morning? The process of bringing forth only occurred after the process of separation. Had there been no separation, there'd have been no bringing forth. Because it was already there. But if you want to live for God, you want to be somebody in God, you've got to separate yourself from the world. You'll never bring forth the fruit of the Spirit as long as you're connected with the world. There's got to be a division between you and the world so you can bring forth the things that God. You can't bring forth your kind and live in the world too and act like the world too and bring forth children that will act like you and live in the world too. But when you separate, say, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and I will receive you unto my own. You'll be like me. Say that again. Thank you. Just to conceive an idea, you know, there's a process that when conception occurs, there's also a desire to bring forth what you've conceived. I mean, as soon as you find out as a lady, I'm pregnant, you're telling everybody, I'm pregnant, I'm going to have a child. And then you go, ooh, I got to bring forth. You see, as soon as you find out there's a conception, then the mentality changes from I want to conceive to, ooh, now I got to bring forth. Because it is nature's way of whatever is conceived in a man's heart, the Bible says, out of the abundance of his heart, what he conceives will come out. It'll come forth. And so, even an idea, if you have an idea, it's kind of hard. You know why Facebook's so popular? And I'm not on Facebook. Don't look for me there. You're not either. But you know why it's so popular? People want to share. They want to share. They want other people to share with their ideas, and they'll take pictures of what they're fixing to eat and share that with the world. Fixing to eat spaghetti and noodles, and they share it with people in China. I hadn't figured it out, but anyway, they want to share. And so when they want to share, then there's this conception that's conceived in you, and you want to bring it forth and make an announcement. Look what we're fixing to eat. You ever had something on your mind and you just couldn't get it off your mind? And like, you go to bed and I'm like, I can't sleep until I go finish this job. I got to finish this sermon. I can't get it off my mind. Why? Because it's conceived in me and I'm not going to be happy until I bring it forth. Whew, there's something in me I want to bring forth. Give me children, else I die. The conception is the putting of something inside of you, but the bringing forth is the taking out of something that's in you. Conception is the adding to, and the bringing forth is the depletion. Conception is the inception of things, but the bringing forth is the completion of the thing. Bringing forth only occurs at the fullness. It should only occur at the fullness of time. Whew, hallelujah. Conception is the easy part, but the bringing forth is the enduring part. You let a little pear, you know, they got a little flower and another little flower, and they say, get you a cross pollinator, and the little bees go, boo, 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 and they go to all the boo, boo, boo. That's how they do. Boo, boo, boo. And they go to all these little flowers, and they're pollinating. Oh, they're having fun picking up all the pollen and all that, and going to bring it back to the queen and all this kind of stuff. But little did you know, they're making a little pear. See, but my job is to bring it. They leave. They're gone. But my job is to fight off the squirrels and the birds and the bugs and all that so I can bring it forth. So I'm here to tell you that it takes something out of you to bring forth. It's easy to conceive. It's easy to say, I won't have a baby. It's easy to say, I won't raise pears. Let the bees do all the work. And talk to you about the birds and the bees. But the bringing forth, my brethren and sisters, is the depleting part. Yeah. And to enable the water and the land to bring forth, God separated away things out so that they both could produce what they had already conceived. The earth and the sea had a desire to bring forth, so that when the water abated, he just had to say to the land, bring forth. And it was so. It was already there. They drained Bundick's Lake this year, and I'm telling you, I haven't been there in a while, but when they first drained it, it looked like Mud City out there. But I tell you what, you go back now, and I guarantee you, you'll see green all over that lake. Because there's something in that that was under the water that had a desire to come out, but could not come out and fulfill the desire until the waters abated. And now what was conceived is coming forth. The process of bringing forth will take something out of you. And when the earth brought forth grasses and herbs and fruits, it took something out of the ground to bring forth the fruit. And that's why the Lord told Israel that every 7 years, 6 years you plant, you plow, you harvest, but in the seventh year, leave it alone. Because it took so much out of the soil, so much nutrients out of the ground, that in the seventh year, let it rest. Because it took so much out of it to bring it forth. That if you keep planting it, it won't bring forth its strength. I have an orange tree in my backyard, and that tree is an every other year tree. You know what I mean? It's a mandarin orange. And every other year, it yields an abundance of fruit. And when it yields that much fruit, I'm afraid the tree's going to die. I mean, it gets weak looking, it gets yellow, the leaves will start dying. I'm like, boy, I'm losing that tree. And the next year, it gets its strength back. It doesn't yield anything. I had two on it this year. They're still hanging there. I didn't even bother them. And so, but this year is gaining its strength from what it brought forth last year. But the time will come that it will be restored. And the time will come that he'll say, let us bring forth. Because it was made to bring forth. And it was the desire of the earth and the desire of the seas to bring forth. But it could not do that until it was separated. And then once it was separated, it brought forth after its own kind. But I'm here to tell you, the one prevented the other. The one prevented the other from bringing forth. And it wasn't until it was the waters were pulled back and they were separated and you had dry land and you had wet water that now the relationship, oh,